The Old Testament scripture lesson from Isaiah just may have been on Jesus' mind during that first Palm Sunday. Listen. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? The gospel lesson from Matthew, the 21st chapter, is an account of the first Palm Sunday, which now we recognize as the beginning of Holy Week. When they had come near Jerusalem and had reached Bethphage at the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, just say this, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them immediately." This took place to fulfill what had been spoken through the prophet, saying, "Tell the daughter of Zion, look, your king is coming to you humble and mounted on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put their cloaks on them, and he sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and that followed were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest heaven." When he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was in turmoil, asking, "Who is this?" The crowds were saying, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." The epistle lesson from Philippians chapter 2 will help us to think about what really happened on that first Palm Sunday. "Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bend, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
What really happened that first Palm Sunday? What was actually going on? We have pictures in our minds of a parade of some sort. It wasn't tulip time in Holland, Michigan. It wasn't the Rose Parade in Pasadena. But we do picture some kind of a procession with participants and onlookers. But was it like that, really? What was and is Palm Sunday? Was this sort of a consolation prize for Jesus, some sort of pep rally to get him emotionally charged up for what was going to happen the coming Friday at Calvary? Hardly. Jesus knew what was coming. Many times he said why he set his face like a flint toward Jerusalem. He told his disciples he was going there to die, to be killed. And it's rather hard to get in a parade spirit thinking about that. No one in their right mind would celebrate going to a crucifixion. And so, in that sense, meaning the good sense to properly evaluate all of this, this was a poor excuse for a parade, the way we normally think of parades. And we can't use Easter to make it spiritually nice either. Jesus was not on the way to the resurrection, never mind the cross. This was not some pre-victory celebration. And we cannot somehow skip Holy Week and then expect Easter to count for much. So, what really happened? In the sense of what was going on to the point that the church remembers and marks Palm Sunday as the beginning of Holy Week. There are some discoveries we can make which will contribute to our understanding and our appreciation of what really happened. In one way, this was a prophetic proclamation by Jesus. He was fulfilling what the Old Testament said would happen when the promised Messiah, the Savior, arrived. However, by this time in the history of Israel, the people had forgotten what the prophet Isaiah said about the suffering servant Messiah. And so as an event, Palm Sunday, with its true spiritual hopes, got all mixed up by this time with political motives. And we know that because we look at the reaction of the participants. Most Israelites by this time were chafing under Roman domination. They didn't like it. They hated it. And so during the feast that was going on at the time, the Feast of Tabernacles, the festive spirit combined with a deep-seated desire and this parade, better said, demonstration, happened. But it was no Easter parade down Fifth Avenue. It was more of a mini march on Washington, D.C., very mini. It was a political event for most, but it was not a very effective one. It really didn't matter much as far as those against whom it was directed. You see, if Jesus was supposed to be the new leader to free Israel from Rome, he would have arrived in town on a Humvee, a horse in those days, and not a motor scooter, a donkey. It was no wonder that the Roman soldiers, who were always present, and even more present during feast days, paid very little attention to this demonstration. Even without a permit, they let it happen, because it wasn't worth much bother. It certainly was not a threat. Also, it didn't get its point across, whatever that point was. Because even though the city knew about it, was stirred, most had to ask, who is this? So why then are we celebrating it? If it had no reason to be a joyous festival, and probably wasn't that big a deal anyway. I'm sure that Jesus endured rather than enjoyed it. How could he have smiled and waved to the crowds, knowing what a great misunderstanding there was on the part of the public and even on the part of his disciples? His obvious statements all said he was not coming to take on Rome the way Rome feared and the people wanted. That's why he rode the humble, docile donkey. The point was completely missed by his own people, and yet obvious to the Roman occupation force. Now, today the church remembers Palm Sunday not as a brash festival, or at least it shouldn't. It's rightly understood in that hymn that we just sang together, ride on in majesty. Did you hear the words? In lowly, lowly pomp, ride on to die. To see the approaching sacrifice, bow thy meek head in mortal pain. We have to recognize Palm Sunday as a token, a trademark of human loyalties which are fickle and blind, expedient and short-lived. How Lenten. Sorry to rain on the parade, but the first Palm Sunday was a humble and humbling experience where Jesus remained obedient even unto death. And all of this raises some very potent Holy Week Lenten questions for you and for me. What does it take to be humble and humbled, much less obedient unto death? Must you and I do that sort of thing before God gives us Easter? Where do you and I have to submit our wills? What part of our lives must die? Now, before some little voice deep inside with its roots in our egos instead of our theology says, now, wait a minute, Christ died for my sins, I don't have to do that. Before that happens, pay attention to the epistle lesson. Just before the lesson in Philippians, we read, for it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe him, but also suffer for his sake. Paul says to us, the model for us is Christ. And that means humility. And that means service. And then in the epistle lesson four today, Paul notes that Jesus refused to grasp, that means to hang on to the glory that was his as the Son of God. So, what glory, using Jesus as a model, are we willing to give up? Are we willing to say, I don't care what others think, I'm not going to go along with what I know is wrong? I'll even give up the glory of others thinking I'm okay. Teens aren't the only ones that suffer from peer pressure. We see it in the jokes we tell and the politics we practice, just so others will like us. Not because we really believe it, but just to be one of the crowd. Are we willing to admit we've been wrong sometimes at home, with our children, with our mate, at work, with an attitude? You know, as a nation, America First has cost us much more than America Righteous would have. In the epistle lesson, Paul says that Jesus did not disguise himself as a servant in a kind of pretend, I can quit any time I want to. He said he became a servant. His actions, his appearance expressed what he in fact was. As a church, a part of the body of Christ, we are going to find ourselves in that servant position again and again. At least we should. For example, as a consistory, we struggle with many good ideas, with many honest requests for help, many more than we can effectively and properly meet. And being good stewards of the church's resource, it's hard work. How do we plan for the future faithfully and be compassionate in the present wisely and remember our past properly? How do we satisfy the good ideas and incentives of so many people in different organizations? How much energy should we expend in explaining not only what we do, but what we don't do? Sometimes what we don't do is as important as what we do. Palm Sunday says what must happen to us both as a church and as individuals is that we learn to be servants, servants of Christ, loving as He loved. And like Jesus, we can trust God for the results rather than let imagined results dictate our servanthood. Yes, but what if is not much of an action plan. Our pattern is Jesus Himself. And what are the results? Our scripture lesson put it like this, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. We know that happens on Easter. We don't have to pretend we don't and we're surprised. We know it. We expect it. Our actions, therefore, must always point in that direction. In Jesus' day, once a Roman soldier took an oath to be one of Caesar's men, then he carried more authority, more responsibility than before that official pledge of allegiance. He knew then he was not alone in his duties, and with that name, Caesar's man, he could be more effective, he could be braver, he could be more sure of himself. In a sense, he could be more free to be more obedient. It is the same and more so for us who have taken the name Christian, Christ one. With Jesus Christ as Lord, we get His action. We get His power. We get His protection. And as He was obedient unto death and God raised Him up, we may be obedient with the same confidence to be a part of the parade rather than to just watch it go by. And with that confidence, we don't have to be afraid of anything, of life or death or anything. Like Jesus, we can endure a pitiful parade. We can be humble servants, faithful and trusting that what we do in the name of Christ will be to the honor and the glory of God. We might not see it right away. You know what follows Palm Sunday? The darkness of Maundy Thursday. The sadness, Good Friday. But Easter is coming. The glory of God is coming because it has already arrived in the resurrection of Jesus. Easter promises to continually come with the new life that Christ provides for us. You and I can faithfully participate in whatever we must as Christians, knowing that God's response to our faithfulness is the same as it was toward Jesus. And we will have our pitiful parades, our own Palm Sundays. We'll try to do it right, this Christian lifestyle, and we'll have it sputter and fizzle. We'll be misunderstood sometimes. We'll do the right things for the right reasons and be accused of wrong motives. We'll be taken advantage of and abused by those who know exactly what they're doing. We'll be humbled by events totally outside of our responsibility or control, like Jesus was on that first Palm Sunday. But God will respond like he did for Jesus. And you and I will celebrate that response together next Sunday, Easter Sunday, Resurrection Day. Palm Sunday may have been a pitiful parade, but it was still Jesus on his way doing God's will. And as we follow him like him, we will also see God's glory. Amen.